that's a great truth that we can stand upon. Let's take your hymn books and stand and sing page 68. Excuse me. What do we got here? 753. No, how about this one? 685. Let's stand and sing 685, Footsteps of Jesus.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprint's falling, lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking His sheep, or along the Solon's mountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Then at last, when on high sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus led at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow.
This morning, the harp duet was He Leadeth Me. Great theme for our day. Looking forward to tonight. Brother Mark Fleming, I've asked him if he will to come and open us up in prayer. And that's just not something we've been able to say much for a while. I think it's the first time, probably for a while. And as I was walking up, it occurred to me, man, we haven't seen him up here. And so I thought I'd come and have him. If you want to update us on what's going on with you, that'd be fine. Or just open us, whatever you want to do. I have one question. We have King's Brass coming this year, right? Do we have King's Brass coming this year? We do? Is Lyle going to be here? He's not?
He's going to miss it by 5 days.
By 5 days? Just like Lyle, right? Lyle.
He's not happy.
Well, that's all right. We'll enjoy it, anyway, but I know he'll be disappointed in that.
I can reschedule it. You're the boss.
All for Lyle.
Sorry,
open us if you will, Brother Mark.
Thank you again just for praying for us. We do count it a privilege to be in church. We may disappear again when the cold and flu season come about, but thank you for your prayers. My cancer numbers seem to be stable, but with the cancer that I have, it has the effect on my immune system, so if you have a cold, we'll just bump elbows and trust the Lord for the best. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. As I meditate on the love of God, it is tied in with your characteristic of being unchanging, immutable, and that love for us is perfect. It never changes. It won't get any better. It won't get any worse. It's just perfect. And Father, I pray that as we follow you, follow the footsteps of Jesus, as we follow our Savior, we will be able to enjoy the complete potential of that love. Father, I pray that as we go into the world tomorrow, wherever we go, we know that it is a unfriendly world to your cause, but Lord, you've asked us to go into the world and be a testimony for you, and I pray that we would do that, and that we would use services like this and like the one in the morning to recharge our batteries to be more committed to what you have for us. Lord, we do look forward to that precious moment. In a twinkling of an eye, we'll be out of here. We'll be away from the sinful world, and we'll be away from the presence of sin. We'll be in the presence of your holiness, and we'll see you as you are, and we'll be like you. What a miracle that is. And Lord, we look for that blessed hope that we have, that sure thing that's going to happen to us if we know you as Savior. Father, I pray that you would just talk to our hearts tonight in a special way, that we would draw closer and closer to you each moment of our life, that we might glorify you in all that we do and say. We thank you again for the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Maybe see you.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from heaven's mountain. In the cross, soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen.
Your testimony. I hope that's your testimony, because this next song we're going to sing is "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." I hope that that's your testimony. Let's stand and sing page 503, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart."
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which all Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
On the second
I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
All right, now if you're happy about that, let your face know, okay? Let your face know about it. Smile. There you go. Hey, Fred, you got a great smile. That's wonderful. Hey, just smile. Let me see what you have for lunch. Okay, on the last, I shall go there to dwell. Here we go.
I shall go there to dwell in that city I know since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy. yes, onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart.
Sing it now.
Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll.
Mark, I like that. That's good. I hear a lot of good sounds coming out from over here, too. I don't know what the difference is, but I can hear you guys down here. I can hear the blend of it and everything, and I like that. What do you say we do a verse with just the instruments? Would you get us started and do a verse with just the instrument? I even hear something back there going, whoop, whoop, whoop. And been a while since Steve's been able to play, but good to see that tuba back there. All right. Huh? Let me see. What I think it's the fourth beat, isn't it? Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Ready? Here we go. One. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let them play again. You shake hands, greet one another. If y'all need to go back to your place. No, you got to leave there and play the offering, don't you? Okay. All right. But greet one another, and let's do another verse of it. Just go ahead and let's shake hands and fellowship. Choir will come down and join with you. And here we go. All right. On the chorus. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea above. Since Jesus came into my heart. All right, now you're doing real well with that. And I don't know whether you guys are going to catch on with this or not, but whenever we come to that hole on the chorus, sea billows roll, we're going to go roll, roll. We'll do that two or three times. Come on now, get back up and help me. Get back up and help me. Come on. Come on. All right. Here we go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Pretty good. Thank you. You may be seated. We won't take an A on that, but we'll get it down around a B minus or something, and that'll be all right. That'll be all right. I think we have some announcements tonight. I know a couple of things I want to mention. I don't want you to forget that a week from Thursday, well, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, and then we're into Thanksgiving week, and that next Sunday is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving. And we changed the service to Tuesday night rather than Thursday night. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. We have church on Thursday.
and that's somewhat of a conflict. And so it's easier for us to move our service than it is to get everybody to move Thanksgiving. And so we move our service to Tuesday night. We'll have microphones set down here at the front, and people will be able to come up and give a word of thanks, what they're thankful for. And I hope you'll participate in that, be here and participate. If you can't be here, why, send it in by text or Twitter or email or something like that, and we'll read your gratitude and thanks here in the service. And it's wonderful we live in a day when we can do that. We have visitors with us tonight. Good to have Matthew, right? Matthew Smiley, and this is good. Good to have you here tonight. Kathleen's son, and good to have him here. Did your mom do okay? Yeah, I thought she did real good. And she, yeah, she did real good. And anybody else visiting with us tonight? Any other visitors? Any other visitors anywhere? All right, Deborah, introduce this young man. All right, well, great. Good to have you. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for coming. All right, okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, ushers come forward. Let's receive the offering. Do you have other announcements?
Yes, just a couple.
The teenagers are baking cookies on these two Friday nights, last Friday night and this Friday night. That is like 1/10 of what we need as far as cookies, you know, okay? So that's just a supplement. Now, don't bring cookies here until Journey starts, but bring them every day. Bring them every day during Journey, if you can at all, and that'll be marvelous. So that way you don't have to freeze them. But if you want to freeze them there at your place and keep them in your freezer, that's fine. Our freezers are full, and we won't have any room here. And then also, if our folks can help us with desserts for the cast. We serve desserts, brownies, cakes, pies, anything that you fix us, we'll eat. Amen? And you need to bring those. If it's four on Wednesday, you need to bring it Wednesday morning, okay? If you bring it Wednesday evening, it'll be served on Thursday, okay? So don't bring anything to be refrigerated. Again, our refrigerators are full. They'll be full. So any kind of cakes or that kind of thing. So plan for that during Journey Through Christmas, and that'd be a big, big help. You'll keep everyone sweet that way. And then don't forget those of you who are helping tomorrow morning, 9:30, bring a screw gun with you, drill, that kind of thing, and some work clothes, and we're going to be working on some things up here on the stage. Thank you.
All right. Many, many things going on. I want you to keep those two things separated. Now, the desserts are for workers in the evening meal. People do not have time to go home and eat and then come and get all set for Journey. So we have meals here at the church, and the desserts would be for that. The cookies are for the people that come for Journey. And so what about 12,000 cookies? 14,000. 14,000 cookies. And so, Ken, that means you've got to make about 500. You've got to make about 500, Ken, okay? And that's a lot. Everybody, we need to all be in on that. And so let's keep that before us, okay? Well, let's pray and ask God to bless this offering tonight. Father, I do pray that you'll bless the offering that we give. Lord, we listen to the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And certainly, it would surprise us if we just took time to do it, to think about that. And so I ask that you'll bless and help us to be in these next days as we come to Thanksgiving, Lord. We ought to be thankful people all the time. But Father, I pray at this time of the year in our country, when we set aside this time, a special time, to be remembering of your blessings to us. Father, it must be hard for those people who don't know you with all the good things they enjoy. They don't have anybody to thank for them. But Lord, we know that every good and every perfect gift comes from you. And we give you thanks and we give you glory. And we give you now, Father, just a token gift to say thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get our Bibles ready in just a moment. Pastor is coming with the message. Leslie Smith's going to sing a beautiful song. Listen, a Thanksgiving prayer.
Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I guess that next Sunday will be the Sunday that we'll go. It seems that the Lord would lead in that to go to the Thanksgiving theme, but the music has been a lot about that tonight, as was last Sunday even. And I'm always glad for that. I like to hear seasonal things at other times. I like to sing, don't often do it, but I like to sing Joy to the World in July. But, Silent Night just sort of seems to fit more with Christmas season, with cold nights and chilly winds and snow on the ground and all those kinds of things. Little chorus we sing sometimes. I don't know that we've sung it here, but it says, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry? when you can pray? I don't know the answer to that question, other than the fact that sometimes we just enjoy a good worry. It just seems that that's what we need, is a good worry. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And you're going to find the companion scripture to that in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. It doesn't mean you're reckless about everything. It means that you're not filled with anxious care about anything. It really is worry. But trust him. Trust him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. 1 Peter 5:7, I've quoted it already, but I look at it again if you have it there with you. It says, casting all your care upon him. Now you can do that because he careth for you. And we sing the little song, he careth for you, he careth for you, in sunshine or shadow, he careth for you. Whenever they do this verse at camp, they do like casting. And it literally means to throw upon, to cast something upon. In other words, now you can't do this. You cannot throw a rock and hold on to it at the same time. Now, I've done this, and if you've had a dog you played with, or you were a kid, or even as an adult, that would bring things back whenever you threw them, you have done this. You have thrown it like that and not let it go. And the dog takes off running, and the dog starts looking around, and the dog knows that you haven't thrown it. You did not throw it. And I think we do that sometimes with our cares. We go, and we still have hold of it. We still have it right with us. Take your burden to the Lord. Tell him about it. Pick it up and take it home with you. That's really a good philosophy. All of us tend to worry. Now, my mom would tell you, I don't ever worry. No, I don't ever worry about anything. And she worried all the time. But she called it something else. She called it concern. I call it excessive concern. We seem to enjoy assuring other people of our problems. And I know we have problems, and there's nothing wrong with telling people about your problems. But we do take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Now, there are times to tell other people, and God leads us to share things with other people. There's no doubt about that. And we are to bear one another's burdens. And how are we going to bear one another's burdens if we don't share our burdens with each other? There's nothing wrong with that. That's not complaining. That's not griping. It's just, I have a burden. I mean, this is pressing upon me. Sometimes we say I'm worried sick. And worry will make you sick. And I think there's a lot of sickness that's directly attributed to worry. I think the body, the way God built it, is not built to accommodate that kind of thing. Because he designs us to live in faith in him and trusting him. And he did not build the body in all of the mechanisms and all the things that go into it and all the things that are put into the bloodstream and put into the body. It's not built to handle that kind of thing. And so all kinds of problems come in the body when we don't release those things and turn them over to the Lord. The word here really means at once throw all your troubles on him. Cast all your cares upon him. Casting all our cares upon him. At once throw all of your troubles on him. Now I'm going to tell you, what is a mountain to you is a pebble to him. And so trust him with it. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares about you. Now, when I was growing up, and as a little boy, I'd get hurt, as little boys and little girls do, and all of us do that. You know what I wanted? I wanted somebody cared for me. I wanted somebody to kiss it and make it go away. You know? I don't know why a bump, I mean, even a bruise, somehow a Band-Aid made it better, even though it wasn't a cut. It's just, you know, there's just something comforting about a Band-Aid. I mean, Mama's kiss and a Band-Aid and everything was all well with the world. Now, if that worked with me as a kid with my mama, think what God can do for us. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Some of you know that old song. I didn't intend to sing this much tonight, but you know how it is whenever I get into it. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in God's word how he feeds the little bird. He doesn't throw it in her nest. Take your burden to the Lord. And leave it there, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Worry denies the wisdom of God. It says God doesn't know what's going on. God's not aware of this. Worry denies the wisdom of God, which is one of his basic characteristics. The omniscience of God, that God is all-knowing. And it denies his very basic character when we worry. And we say, oh, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Oh, yeah, somebody knows. Somebody knows. The Lord knows where you are. Your pastor may not know. Your best friend may not know. You may not even know. But the Lord knows. Worry denies that. Worry says God doesn't know. God's off somewhere, like Elijah on Mount Carmel, taunting the prophets of Baal. He said, yell a little louder. Maybe your God's gone on vacation. He's so far away, he can't hear you. Sometimes we think God's like that. We think our God's like that. He's so far away, he can't hear us. He doesn't know what's going on. He's out of touch. Just like our kids sometimes think about us older folks. We're out of touch. We don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on. He knows where you are. Worry also denies the love of God, basic characteristic of God. A basic character of God is love. And worry says, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. I think so often of Mary and Martha. And they pray. And they say, let's tell Jesus. The only thing we have to do is tell him. Let's tell him. Let's tell him the one whom thou lovest is sick. Boy, whenever he hears that Lazarus is sick, he'll know who he is. He'll know whom the one thou lovest is. He knows. He'll know that's Lazarus. What a special relationship that must have been. Wow. And he'll come just like that. And he'll take care of it just like that.
And so they did. They did the thing that was right. They did the thing that was best. They did the thing you're supposed to do. Did the thing the Word of God says to do. They did all of those things. They did it all just right. And they did it in faith because they said as soon as they hear, not only did they believe Jesus could, they believed he would. And he didn't. Whenever we get to that place in our life, the devil hops up on your shoulder and whispers in your ear. God doesn't care. He cares about other people. He doesn't care about you. That's what worry does. Worry says God doesn't care. And then worry denies the omnipotence of God. Worry denies the power of God. Okay, well, maybe God knows about it, and maybe God really cares about it, but God can't do anything about it. He can't do anything about my problem. And so, you know, as good as God is and as much as God cares, he can't do anything about it. Oh, yeah, he can do something about it. And not only can he do something about it, but he'll do the very right thing about it. Now, I go back to Lazarus and Bethany, Mary and Martha. Whenever they came to Jesus and they said to him, the one whom thou lovest is sick, and I think the disciples probably knew who it was, and they probably expected Jesus to panic. Oh, my, let's go to Bethany. Let's go right now. Oh, I've got to get there quick. I've got to get there. Lazarus is sick. Let me get there quickly. No, but he didn't. He waited and waited. And he said, let's go. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. Oh, if he's sleeping, he's doing good. And he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Now, who would have thought that would have happened? With one whom Jesus dearly loved, and he became sick, Jesus is sent for, and he doesn't go. Who would have ever thought that would happen? Who can imagine that that would happen? That Jesus would not go immediately. And he told his disciples that the purpose of this is for the glory of God. In other words, whenever he said, it seems contradictory in the scripture, because Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. And just a few verses later, he says, Lazarus is dead. It seems that that's not consistent. But we have to understand what he means whenever he says, this sickness is not unto death. He's talking about this is not the purpose of this sickness. The purpose of this sickness is not death. Although death happened, that was not the purpose of the sickness. Because the ultimate outcome of the sickness and of the death was the glory of God. Do you see that? Do you see how that's very consistent? Because Jesus said his purpose is not death. It's not unto death, but it's unto the glory of God. So worry denies the wisdom of God, denies the love of God, also denies the power of God. Does Jesus care when my heart is grieved too deeply for mirth or song? When the burdens press and the cares distress and the day grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Now, I understand that, and that is true. But whenever you may tell me or you may tell a friend or someone else, you may tell them the burden of your heart, of your distress, of your care, of where you are and of what's going on, I can say I care. My heart is touched by what's going on in your life. But I may not be able to do anything about it. Now, sometimes I can do something about it. But not always can I do something about it. But I'm going to tell you, our God can do something about it. He not only cares, he can do something about it. Why worry? Worry denies the wisdom of God. God doesn't know what's going on. It denies the love of God. He doesn't care about me. And it denies the power of God. He can't do anything about it. It's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. God can't do a thing about it. That's not true. God can. For with God there shall be nothing impossible. The only thing God does not do is that which is inconsistent with his character or that which would harm one of his children. And sometimes we ask for things and have no idea the harm it would bring if we got what we were asking for. Now that's the introduction to my sermon. The common condition, number one, everybody has cares. Everybody in here has burdens. Everybody has things that they carry with them. They have cares, things they carry with them. Some people carry things from childhood into their adult life. They have burdens. They have troubles. We come to church and we smile and shake hands, and it's not that we're hypocritical. But we're not doing as well on the inside as we look on the outside. Every once in a while, I look at someone, like I told Marshall Vance this morning. I told Marshall, I said, man, I hope you're doing as good as you look. He said, well, I am. I am. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, I hope I'm not doing as bad as I look. Oh, my. Paul said to Gaius, he said, I wish that you would be in as good a health physically as you are spiritually. But everybody has cares. Everybody has family problems. People have problems with the kids. Kids have problems with the parents. Husbands have problems with wives, and wives have problems with husbands, and kids have trouble with parents, and people have trouble with the boss, and bosses have trouble with employees. We just got troubles. There's trouble. People have physical problems. They have financial problems. They have social problems. Will my friends like me? Will people like me? I've been rejected. What will people think of me? Nobody understands. And all these kinds of things. We have social problems. Sometimes we have mental problems. And there's nothing wrong with having a mental problem. I mean, it causes difficulties, but you know, I think there are times that all of us have times of depression. I think we need to learn how to deal with that. And I think God has a way of dealing with that. But we all walk through those times. I think most of the time for preachers, that's Monday morning. And it's kind of like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Man, he takes on the prophets of Baal and prays down fire from heaven and slays the prophets of Baal. And then what does he do? Just a few days later, he has run from Jezebel into the south of Israel, into the Judean desert, and he sits down under a juniper tree and he says, let me die. Let me die. Just let me die. I'm through. It's all over with. Nobody, I'm the only one left. And I mean, he's just been on the mountain where the people cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And man, what a revival in the hearts of the people. And he says, oh, let me die. Just let me die. I'm through with it. It's all over. I'm done with it. After that great victory, and that's not uncommon after a great victory to have a valley that you go into. But know how to deal with that. Sometimes we think that we're not competent. Sometimes we think, man, you know, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. Yeah. I can chew with my false teeth and my hearing aids work fine. I can see with my bifocals, but I sure do miss my mind. Well, you know your mind's on your seat. You know that's where it is, don't you? That's where your memory is. You get up, go get something, and you're looking for your glasses in the refrigerator.
You've never done that? You will. You will. Or you're looking for your phone while you're talking to someone. Say, it's in my phone. Let me get my phone and I'll get it. Where did I put my phone? And the voice on the other end says, you're talking to me. I walked this road. Many of you have walked this road with others. I walked this road with my mama. And my mama will say, you know, I'll never forget that. I'll never, and I find myself saying that. Mama say, I'll never forget that. Man, I'll never forget that. But she did. She did. And we all walk that way. Probably the Lord lets all of us live to a certain age. That's going to happen to us. We were somewhere the other day. I was with Aaron. And I saw this old couple get up. And he was helping her, and then she was helping him, and he was helping her, and then she was helping him, and they were trying to get to the door and get out the door and everything like that. And I said, Aaron, there goes your mom and dad in just a few years. We're mortal. That's what we are. It's common. It's common. Not uncommon at all. Everybody has problems. Number two, the Christian's command. The Christian's command. Not only the common problem, but there's the Christian's command. Casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him. Turn it over to him. Now, I don't mean that you do not take responsibility. I do not mean that you do not fulfill that God has given you to do. I think some people take the idea, I'm not going to discipline my children, I'm just going to pray for them. That's not what God said. God has given you a responsibility in that area. And you do not ask God to do what he's assigned you to do. If God gives you something to do, you don't say, well, I'm not going to do that, God. I'm just going to pray about it, and I'm going to ask you to do it. No, God's asked you to do it. That's your responsibility. Well, God, I'm going to go borrow this money, and then I'm going to pray that you'll pay it back. No. You don't do that. God said you made your own loan. Pay your own loan back. I didn't make that loan. It's your credit cards, not mine. Those things that come up on you out of your control, God cares. And whenever things come to you out of your control, give those things to the one who is in control. Because it is by him that all things consist. And then I see the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ, for he careth for you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Whenever it says he careth for you, it is a, this is really what the word is. It is a meticulous personal concern. He has a meticulous personal concern for you. He careth for you. Young ladies, you'll never meet a young man who'll care for you that way. Now, he may be good and he may be fine, but he'll never care for you like that. You may want him to, and he may want to, but he'll never care for you like that. And young men, you'll never find a young lady that'll care for you like that. Now, us older fellows, we found that out. And you older ladies, you found that out. He doesn't even care for you like he did care for you I'm not talking about loving you. I'm talking about caring for you. I'm talking about taking care of things for you, like he did whenever you were dating. I mean, you know, he opened the car door and he threw down his coat on a puddle of water for you to walk across and all that kind of stuff. It's different now. Different now. If you don't get in yourself, he'll drive off and leave you. Get a mile down the road and say, where is she? She didn't get in. Okay. Oh, well, I better go back and see what's going on. Our daughter, April, I left her. I left her at church two times. I mean, church locked up, dark, everybody gone. And she is in there by herself. I guess this is confession night for me. I don't know. And she's not watching, I don't think, because she's at church. But nevertheless, he is our burden bearer. You see somebody carrying a load, and every once in a while I'm coming across with a bunch of stuff from the office on Sunday morning, or maybe on Thursday night or Sunday night or whatever, I'm calling a bunch of stuff. And one of these young men, sometimes an older fellow, will come and say, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. And I don't turn them down. I don't turn them down. I'm glad for the help. Whenever we're walking this road and we're burdened down with the cares of this life, it's like the Lord comes along and says, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. No, I'm doing all right. I'll make it. Old farmer walking along, he had a 100-pound sack of taters on his shoulder, carrying, going home. Fellow came along with a wagon. He said, hey, my friend, get up here. I'll give you a lift. Come on up here. You're riding the wagon with me. And the fellow said, whoa, that sounds good. And he got up in the wagon and got up there, and he put the sack of potatoes on his shoulder. And the fellow said, set your taters down, man. He said, sack. Oh, he said, no, you good enough, give me a ride. I'll carry the taters. And that's what we do. We say, oh, if God's good enough to save me, and oh, he's good enough to take, oh, that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'll just take care of the burdens. I'll just carry the burdens myself. No, you can set the taters down. Amen. Good. You can set down. The wagon that'll hold you will hold the taters too. Yeah. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Same book. Chapter 3, verse 24. Who his own self bore our sins. He bore our sins. And then it says here in chapter 5, verse 7, he'll bear your cares. He'll carry your cares. So cast all your care upon him. Now, it doesn't mean we're irresponsible. It doesn't mean that we do not obey him and do that he has for us to do. But those things that are out of control are under his control. And our anxious cares are cast upon his affectionate care. Our anxious cares are cast upon his affectionate cares. Why worry? When you can pray, trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry? When you can pray. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We used to sing this song a good little bit on Thursday night. We'd come, put prayer requests on the table. Other people would come, pick them up. Mark, if you would, come on and sing it. I cast all my cares upon him. I lay all my burdens down at his feet. Anytime I don't know what to do, I cast all my cares upon you. Listen to it.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
In just a moment, he's going to sing it again. If there's something you'd just like to come and cast on the Lord, I urge you, come right on, right now, and say, Lord, I'm going to let you carry this.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
We're going to have him sing it again. If you know it and you've learned it even in this time, I want you to sing it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. But I cast all my burdens on the Lord, but we bear one another's burdens. If you see someone here you know, why don't you just walk up, lay a hand on their shoulder, and just pray with them? Would you do that? I think that would be helpful and meaningful to everyone. Would you just do that? Come right on. Come right on. Sing it again.
I cast all my cares upon you.
Share the burden with them.
I lay all of my burdens down at your feet.
Help one
and
another.
Any time.
Help one another. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't know them.
What?
Be an encouragement to one another.
I will cast all my cares upon you.
I cast
all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Father, I thank you that we cannot put anything upon you that you're not already aware of, and you're not only aware of it, and you not only care, but you can do something. Father, sometimes you're doing something in a situation, but sometimes you're doing something in us that needs to be done. And I pray, Lord, we'll respond properly to that. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your sufficiency in every point of life. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If someone here and God's spoken to you about your need to come and trust Christ as your Savior, maybe that's a need. Maybe you need to come tonight and join in fellowship with this church. We'd welcome you. We'd welcome you. We're going to have the instruments play it through one more time without any singing. If you'd like to come, now's the time. Will you come right now? bless you. Some are here still praying, and that's good, and that's fine. We thank God for that. I hope you will bear one another's burdens. And the Word of God says, so fulfill the law of Christ. And in conjunction with that, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. God bless your heart. Keep in mind all the announcements this week. Stay before the Lord. Stay well. Take the precautions. Wash your hands. Okay. And I shook hands with somebody in a restaurant today, and they said, now you got to wash your hand. I said, if you knew everybody that was on that hand, you'd go wash your hand too. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Anything else we need? Anything else that I'm overlooking, forgetting? Okay. God bless you. You're dismissed. Voices of victory right in place.